Told you I got excited about this. Where am I? I already covered that. I go back to when I was a 1975. I was playing in rock bands. I was living in Connecticut. We had been traveling to Texas, down the west coast of Florida and all this stuff. We went back to New Haven and put some new material together. And I had rented out my room in my house where the band was living. And so I stayed up at my parents' house, and at the same time, my brother came back from the Army. He had been saved for 2 weeks. And I knew there was something different about him. And then all of a sudden, he started saying these little things here, and I'm going like, what? What? I was an atheist at the time. What? Where did that come from? I said, what is it with you anyhow? I mean, you're not Rick anymore. He said, no, I hope not. I said, why is that? He says, well, I'm a Christian. I said, oh, good. I can help you out there, Rick. Rick, there's no God. Come on. And I thought I was doing him a favor. And but then he said, well, why do you say that? I said, well, I don't see him. I don't feel him. I don't hear him. How can you say that there's a God? He says, well, then you don't believe in radio waves either. And he turned on a radio. He says, you don't see those. You don't feel those. But you hear it. You know it's there. And so he said, I have new ears to hear with. I have new eyes to see with. I can see things differently now. And I'm like, I just feel the stilts going out from under me here, one at a time. And after 2 weeks of listening to this, I said, okay. And we were in the car, and he was just talking. He was driving. I was sitting there at shotgun. And I said, how do you know all this stuff? He says, because Jesus is my Lord. Now, mind you, he was only saved for like 2 weeks. At this point, maybe 4 weeks now. But there was something other than him inside of him talking to me, and that word was God. Amen. And so I said, how do you know? He said, because Jesus is my Lord. And I looked at him. I said, he's my Lord too. And I meant it. I was born again right there. You know, the shortest salvation prayer on record is Saul of Tarsus. Lord! Who are you, Lord? It doesn't take much. It just takes wanting it, desiring it, and confessing what you believe. That's all it is. You don't have to go through, you don't have to go up to an altar and cry and sob and sling snot for 2 hours. You don't have to do any of that. I'm sorry, did that gross you out? Too bad, you're in church. This is where we get, church is a Holy Ghost hospital, folks. It's not some museum piece of perfect people. Boy, those walls of religion, I'm telling you something, all they do is build walls between you and God. That's what religion does. It keeps you out and keeps God up there, and never the twain shall meet. Religion fills you with all kinds of lies about God, thinking that, oh, you can never know the will of God. It is so high and so out there that you cannot possibly know. Well, this is why he gave us the book. He gave us the book so we could know his will. We could know who he is, how he operates, the kingdom principles by which he operates. We shouldn't be surprised about this. I mean, look, let's say you go to the county or the municipal, when we renovated this office building here, we couldn't just say, okay, City of Carpentersville, we just agree now that we have all this stuff and we can just go ahead and do it. No, yes, the Bible says if any two agree as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of my Father. But anything that they shall what? Ask. You still got to ask. You got to go down, you got to go to the village, get the right forms, you got to fill out the right forms, turn it into the right person, get the right approval, get the architectural stuff and whatever it is that you need, and you need to go and you go through the right channels. Well, it's the same with the kingdom of God. There are channels, there are things, there are right ways of praying, there's wrong ways of praying. There's right ways of talking, there's wrong ways of talking. There's right ways of believing and wrong ways of believing. This is what the Word of God does. And this builds into us the very thing that brought Jesus into the world through a virgin. The principle has never changed. From Abraham and Sarah to Mary, it has never changed. It is the manifestation of the Word of God in the earth. It's so simple. I was getting, you know, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 29. And we're going to look at this. And then I want to go into our weekly confession. But Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this. The secret things belong to who?
The Lord.
He reserves the right to own those secret things. But those things which are what?
Revealed
belong to who?
Us.
And to our children forever, that we may what?
Do
all the words of this law or this word, that we may be doers of the word. We need revelation knowledge. This is why Paul prayed, and go to chapter 1 of Ephesians. This is a prayer for the church, and he wrote it to the church of Ephesus, but since it's in the Bible, it's for all of us. This is an anointed prayer for us. Sorry, Stephen. Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start in 17. My Bible's falling apart. You know what that means? It means your life isn't falling apart. This is a kingdom of opposites a lot of times. Paul prayed that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you. When God gives you something, does he take it back?
No.
Even when you sin?
No.
No, because when you sin, you need this.
Yes.
You need to pick it up and work it. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, in the knowledge of God. Then it says this, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So revelation knowledge is not something you just know in your mind. It's something you see with your understanding. That you're, this word enlightened here, understanding being enlightened, means flooded with light. That the eyes of your understanding be flooded with light. This is what happened to me. The first time after I was born again, the first Christmas I went, it was July 20th of 1975, I was born again. That Christmas, I went to the Woodbridge Congregational Church to a carol sing, and I heard the Christmas carols. For the very first time in my life, I actually heard what the Christmas carols said. Word of our Father, now in flesh appear. Wow! That was there all the time. And I never heard that. I sang it at carol. I did. Christ was being formed in me. I was gaining understanding. My eyes were being of my were flooding with light. And I was getting revelation and understanding. And I said, wow, this is what it is. The Word being made flesh, the promises being made flesh, the Word of God being made flesh, all wisdom and understanding, revelation coming to me. This is what Christianity is all about. It's not about going to church and being perfect. It's not about that. It has nothing. Get rid of that stuff. Just let the truth set you free from religion, religiosity, churchianity, and all this other stuff, and fluff and masks and everything else. No, just be who God made you to be, who He recreated you to be. The eyes of your understanding being flooded with light that you may know the hope that He's called you to, the hope of your calling. And what are the exceeding, the glory of His inheritance in this? You have an inheritance in Him. He has an inheritance in you. But He is the benefactor. You are the beneficiary. And what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Next verse. And what the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe according to the working of the power which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him in His own right hand. Far above. Let's go to the next one. Far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. People, you don't have to wait until you get to heaven to enjoy this. No, this is yours now. It doesn't say you will have an inheritance. No, it says you. As soon as Jesus died, the will went into force. The promises became yours. Everything was folded over, and everything became yours because you are the recipients of the will. The death of the testator has happened, and the will of God is now made alive, and He's put all things under your feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that fills all in all. Revelation knowledge. How do you get revelation knowledge? How is it that things are revealed to us? The things, because if they revealed to us, then they belong to us. So what we got to do is we got to know how to get revelation. Because if we get revelation, then we'll know what belongs to us. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, this is going totally apart from the message I thought I had last night. But this is better. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Or I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says this. How many of the promises? All of the promises of God. That means all of the promises in the Old Testament. You say, well, that was the Old Testament. Well, it worked for Paul. He got all his revelation out of the Old Testament and started writing the New Testament. For all the promises of God in Him, in Christ, are yes. Say that. Yes. And in Him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. We're the ones who establish it in the earth. Why is that? Because man has dominion in the earth. God gave Adam dominion in the earth, and that never changed, even when he fell. The devil can't just do stuff. He has to have human permission, human cooperation. We got to work side by side with the devil in order for him to get anything done. And we are the mud and the sludge that he has to wade through to get anything done. God has put everything under our feet. He has put all things under his feet. Even if you're the little toe and you're confused and you sinned last night or you sinned last week, if you are believing in Christ, you are part of the body of Christ, and the devil is under your feet. All principality, all power, all might, all dominion is under your feet because he's raised you up far above all of that. In him, in Christ, You know, that is the signature of the new covenant, is in him. The prepositions in the new covenant are everything. You got to understand something about in him, in Christ, in whom we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. So if you're guilty, you go before God and say, forgive me, cleanse me, thank you. Don't make a big deal out of it. He didn't make a deal. In fact, he doesn't deal with you according to your sins, the Bible says, but according to his mercy. But you do have to get back into fellowship with him. Not that you're not in relationship with him. You're always in relationship with God. Once you're born again, he's your dad. You need a revelation of that. And when you get a revelation of it, you will own this. Say this, all the promises of God in Christ are yes. And in him, amen, by me. You are involved in this. It's not all God. It's not all God and none of us. No, he doesn't work. He doesn't make you do things. He doesn't make things happen to come to you automatically. If it happened automatically, we wouldn't need faith. We wouldn't need prayer. We wouldn't need any of those things we wouldn't need to operate according to the fruit of the Spirit. We wouldn't need any of that if it just happened automatically. No, we have something to do with this. Don't we? We have something to do with this. Not that it's a whole system of works. We're not getting, no, we are cooperating with God. That's all we're doing. How do we do that? Do the word. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'll use the big book here today. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, it's important that you let your eyes fall on these scriptures and so that you see them. That's a scriptural principle. Keep them ever before your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, when you get a new Bible, it kind of sticks together, the pages. You ever notice that? It says this. Verse 7, it says, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. That's the gospel, the plan of redemption. Even the hidden wisdom, remember the secret things belong to the Lord? The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes, that's the demonic realm, none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, there was a big discussion when Mel Gibson came out with, what was the name? The Passion of the Christ. That was so brutal. That doesn't even picture half of what went on at that. I mean, Romans were brutal. It was Pax Romana, peace through fear and power and brutality. But that didn't cover half of it. And they said, well, they're going to blame us for crucifying Christ. No, they already did that. They already blamed themselves. When it says, when they chose Barabbas, and they said, well, what about him? And the Jews all said this, his blood be on us and upon our children forever. Thank God he is merciful. And thank God that Jesus said, forgive them, Father, they don't know what they're doing. We speak the wisdom of God, and even the hidden wisdom of God, which God foreordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew it. Had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. It's the devil that crucified Jesus. He was so, he had Jesus derangement syndrome. And he would do anything to get to kill him and to get rid of him forever. He didn't count on the third day, though. He didn't count what would happen when an angel came down and rolled that stone away. That was a massive stone, by the way. It was sealed with a Roman seal. Massive. And Jesus just came out. It was the devil that crucified Jesus, using the Roman government to do it and using the chief priests. And you know what? Jesus, the Lamb of God, was sacrificed on that Passover by the high priest according to the perfect letter of the law. This thing couldn't have been more perfect, more preordained, more anything. It couldn't have been more perfect than this. And Jesus couldn't have done anything else but resurrect because there was no sin in him. There was nothing to hold him in hell. He took that sin into his body on the tree, went to hell after he took our sin nature into his spirit, went to hell, took authority over that sin, and rose up above it victorious, ever to deposit. Your sin forever is gone. It's been judged. It's gone. It's done. Everything. You have been recreated, and you have the Spirit of Christ on the inside of you singing, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, here's what I'm getting at. But as it is written, what did Jesus say to the devil in the wilderness? It is written. It is written. It is written. This is your manifesto. But as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Most people stop right there. What's the next verse say? But! That cancels out the first verse. God has what? Revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all the things, yea, the deep things of God. So that what? Verse 11. For what man knows the things of man, save the spirit of man that is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Next verse. Now we have received what? Not the Spirit of, but the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Christianity is not about cerebral knowledge. It's not about mental assent. It's about being revealed what's yours. The things that are freely given to us of God. When those things are revealed to you, the devil cannot pry your hand loose. He cannot take them from you. Remember what Jesus said to Martha? He said, Mary's chosen that good thing, learning at his feet, and those things will not be taken from her. Amen. They can't be. Why? Because they're revealed through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God. Are you getting anything out of this today? Now, turn to Luke chapter 1. Do you know Luke spent a lot of time with Paul? Give you a little history here. And when Paul was arrested by Nero, you know, Nero lit Rome on fire, and then so he could blame the Christians for it, so he could start a mass murder of the Christians. I mean, basically that was it. He was nuts. So Paul was arrested for being part of the insurrection against the Roman government. Some things never change. So Paul's arrested. So here's what Luke did. Luke got to traveling, and he went back to Ephesus. Now, you know who he met in Ephesus? Well, put it this way. When Jesus was on the cross, he gave Mary John. He said, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. He was giving the care of his mother over to John. John was Jesus's life insurance policy, and Mary was the beneficiary, and it was in the person of John. God anointed John to be the son of Mary after that. John, we know, was pastor for 12 years, pastored the church at Ephesus. Where do you think Mary went? She went to Ephesus. Luke was trying to put a manifesto together for Paul's defense at his trial. This is why he wrote the book of Luke. This is why he wrote the book of Acts, to put something together. And then when Paul was executed, you notice there's no end to the book of Acts? Because there was no reason for it anymore, because Paul had been beheaded by Nero. But now, in Luke chapter 1, it says this. Where did I start there, Stephen? 26. Attaboy, heaven. That is the sweetest sound in the world. That is, oh, thank you, Jesus. Verse 26, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel, now this is the sixth month. 6 months earlier, he went to Zacharias and said, your wife's going to have a baby in her old age. She's barren. And so, and Zacharias says, he was really mouthing off to Gabriel. And Gabriel said, well, because you didn't believe me, you're going to be silent. You won't be able to talk until you name him, till after he's born. You see, God could not allow any words of doubt coming from the high priest Zechariah at that time. He had to shut him up. He couldn't let that unbelief and that stuff go on. So he had to shut him up. Elizabeth got pregnant 6 months later. So this is 6 months later. Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. I have the ASV version over here too. I'm going to read that. Where did I leave off? What verse? 29. So it might be. And the angel said, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High. She's just standing there. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Wherefore, also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your kinswoman, she also has conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her that was called barren. Verse 37, For no word from God shall be void of power. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. When she said that, Behold, the handmaiden of you, be it done unto me as you have said. Behold the handmaid, be it done unto me according to your word. She didn't say, be it done unto me according to my ability to live up to this. She didn't say, up to my holiness or anything. No, unto thy word. According to your word, be it done to me. That's when she received the word That's when she was impregnated right there. When she said that, she was impregnated with the seed of the Word of God. That Word was the sperm. It was what united her. It was the life of God that was in her through it, the Word that God released into Gabriel, and Gabriel released that Word into Mary, and Mary said, "Be it unto me according to your Word." The Word was established in her heart. I'm telling you, when you see a promise in the God, in the Word of God, when you see a promise, when you see a provision in there, and you say, "Be it done unto me according to your Word," and God says, "Well, okay, it's yours." Because all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen unto the glory of God. What? By us, by our confession of faith. When we stand on it in faith and say, "Yes, it's mine." And the devil can't do it. There's nothing he can do about it, no matter how hard he tries. He can't do a thing about it. This is why he hates the Word of God so much. This is why the devil does everything he can to fight against, to bring persecution and affliction, to bring the cares of this life, lust of other things, and the deceitfulness of riches into your life, and do this all day long and try to get you confused and desert the Word of God so that you drop it. He can't take it out of your hand. You got to drop it, because he can't just do stuff. He needs human cooperation. And if he can get you in unbelief and fear and anxiety about everything and get you full of the world and you let go of it, then he's done his job. He hates the Word, because once it gets planted inside of you, inside of your spirit, and it starts renewing your mind, and you start to think like God and act like God and talk like God, and everybody thinks you are God. You say, "Well, no, but he does live in me, and I'm going to imitate my Father." And you know what happens? It starts to root. And it starts to grow. And you start to receive. And the love, the joy, the peace, the pain, and all that stuff starts to flourish inside of your spirit. And here you are. The next thing you know, you turn around, and you don't even recognize who you were anymore. But that's a good thing, because the past is gone. And you might as well leave Egypt behind and keep your mind, your eyes on the promise, on the promised land. Because in the Old Testament, the promised land was a place. In the New Testament, the promises of God are they're the promises that are about to manifest in your life when you take that Word of God inside of you. Take it. This is what Christmas is about. I mean, yeah, you got family gatherings, you got party, you got shopping, you got presents, you got da, 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 da. But don't let those things be the thing. Yes. I'm not saying that to just get, no, I'm getting that so you don't get filled with religion and afflictions and cares of this life and everything else to steal the Word out from it. Because this is the most exciting thing in the world. When you see the promises and you say, "Oh, yeah, I see that. I'll take that. Be it done unto me." This is exciting when you see the promises and you say, "I know I can do this. I have this. I can do this. I want to see. I can walk with God. I can be full of joy all day long. I can wake up in the morning with hope in my heart. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this." Praise God. You, Shirley, you love your grandchildren. She is a grandma. She's anointed of God to be a grandma to those kids. She loves those kids. And she doesn't, and you know what? The love that she has for, can't even compare to the love that God has for her, has for you. The love is so full. He's got everything in place. All he wants you to do is say, "Okay, take it." And you say, "Okay, be it done unto me." This isn't arduous works in attaining something that hasn't already been given. It's already been given. You come and receive. Oh, hallelujah. And the angel departed from her. Mission accomplished. Thank you. That was good timing. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, how do you think Daniel had the strength to go into that lion's den? How do you think the three children of the three Hebrew children said, okay, we're not going to bow down, Nebuchadnezzar, to your golden image. We only bow down to God. Sorry. You know, not that I am sorry, but that's not me. So he said, turn that thing up seven times hotter. And they threw him in there. How do you think? And they said, you know, and then Nebuchadnezzar looks in and says, I see a fourth man in there, and the guys aren't burning. Yeah. What is, and the fourth guy looks like the son of God. It was the son of God. And it preserved them. See, once you start operating in the word of God and you start walking like it and talking like it, and you won't bow down to the things of this world. You won't bow down to these things anymore. Do you know how much might and strength and power that you have on the inside of you? Amen. Was Jesus limited? No. He was not limited. He was limited because he was a physical body. He can't be everywhere at the same time. But through faith, the Father is everywhere at the same time, and so are you. You can be everywhere that you have to be through prayer, through the connection with God's Word. I can drive this thing into the ground some more, but I think I'll just leave it there today. You have power inside of you that you have... Some of you are getting this. Some of you are getting this. And you can't wait to get out there tomorrow. Just give me a shot here, Lord. And just the best thing you could do right now is just go home, kneel down next to your bed, and just start praying in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, because that you're going to find a lot of revelation in just praying in the Spirit too. You know, Paul prayed in tongues more than everybody. And he also had more revelation than anybody. And if it's revealed to you, it's yours. Praise God. Praise God. Father, Lord, you're so good to us. You tickle us. You play with us. You show us stuff. You surprise us. You reveal things to us. You share your heart with us. And Lord, we come to you knowing that we cannot be complete in anything or anybody else, that there is nothing this world can possibly give us that can fulfill an eternal spirit that you have made us to be. And so we gratefully acknowledge your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path, that you build the bridge of acceptance and love in Christ, not walls of religion. And we thank you, Father, that those walls came down when Jesus rose from the dead and destroyed principalities and powers, when you destroyed mights and dominions and everything that is arrayed against us, it fell apart. And now we rise up in the power and the light and the strength that you give anybody who will simply ask, who will put your word before their eyes and believe it, receive it, speak it, and walk in it. To be doers of the word. That's our prayer, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. If you've never received Jesus as your Lord, now's a good time. Now's a good time. Pray this prayer with me. Lord, I've stumbled over this 100 times, but now I see it. And I thank you for showing it to me, revealing it to me. Now, I come to you in the powerful name of Jesus. I leave my past behind, and I reach forth to those things that you have for me that are so much better, so much richer, everlasting, and full of wonder. All in the name of Jesus. I receive the forgiveness of my sins through the blood of Jesus. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. From this moment forward, I will walk in the Word of God, and I will be a doer of the Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. And if you prayed that prayer, you just got born again. I mean, that's a little longer than I prayed when I said, He's my Lord too. But you know, he's for the taking. He's already given himself and he's for the taking. Amen. You're dismissed. There are refreshments in the, there's lunch. Thank you. Good stuff, Lynn. She cooks, man. Good stuff. So join us for lunch. We'd love to fellowship with you and get to meet you and get to know you a little better. And if you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our altar ministers will agree with you in prayer. Amen. Thank you, Lord.